battles and big cities do not mix well. Military historians may describe brilliant strategies or elegant victories when battle groups maneuver at sea or tank battalions vie in the desert, but when we think of the recent battles or sieges of Sarajevo or Grozny, Mogadishu or Beirut, the images are typically of heavy casualties, sniper fire in public places, city blocks leveled, or massive numbers of civilians trapped or reduced to refugee status. So, how will the U.S. approach the Battle of Baghdad? Retired Marine Colonel Randy Gangle runs a Marine Corps think tank, the Center for Emerging Threats and Opportunities in Quantico, Virginia, and joins us. Colonel Gangle, first, what's the conventional wisdom about tightening a ring of forces around the Iraqi capital and sitting for a while or sending troops right in?
Well, you know, frankly, I have no idea what the commanders on the ground will do. I will tell you that conventional wisdom says that you want to isolate the objective city, in this case, Baghdad. Now, by that, I don't want to imply that it's a siege by any stretch of the imagination, but what it is you want to stop the movement of enemy forces in or out of the city, particularly in to reinforce those that are already in there. Now, as to the speed of when we'll commence operations in the city, that's anybody's guess.
What recent battle do you think would provide the closest experience to what the U.S. will be doing in Baghdad?
My hunch is that the Russian experience in Grozny is probably the one that's most akin to what I'm seeing unfold at this time, particularly as I watch events in Basra, farther to the south. What we have seen there is Iraqi army soldiers, regular soldiers, and paramilitaries removing their uniforms, breaking down into small teams, and then going out and ambushing and sniping at the British forces, as well as continuing to maintain a hold over the civilian population.
But if Grozny is the model, I mean, whole sections of Grozny were leveled by the Russians. Is that what you'd expect here?
Well, no. First off, the Russians operate, or did operate, certainly, under a very different set of rules of engagement than U.S. and British forces and coalition forces operate under. Fortunately for us, we have studied all of the battles since World War II up to the present, regardless of which nation was involved in them. And we built a composite of what we thought the enemy of the future would be like, and it was very similar to what I have just described. And we have developed very effective tactics, techniques, and procedures and taught them to our forces to enable us to engage those types of military forces and limit to a large extent the collateral damage.
So much of the U.S. advantage over Iraq is in precision weaponry, smart bombs or missiles. How useful is that advantage likely to be in a battle for Baghdad?
Well, mentioning bombs at the your first comment there, first off, the precision part still remains. The problem with bombs, large bombs on the urban battle space, is twofold. First, there's no such thing as no collateral damage with a 250 to a 2,000-pound bomb. Secondly, most contact with infantry forces in an urban battle is at about 35 meters, which is well within what the military refers to as danger close. That is, if you drop the ordnance, the bomb, or the artillery on the opponent, you're going to receive just as much shrapnel in your location. So to that extent, our precision weapons are limited. However, should we decide for some reason to take out a large target, should it become necessary, our units can, of course, move back to a safe distance and we can employ those weapons.
Assuming that there is the kind of resistance in Baghdad that the British have experienced in Basra, which you've cited as a model,
mm-hmm.
What do you think is the likely minimal amount of casualties U.S. forces would sustain in taking the Iraqi capital?
That's a very difficult question. I can tell you what the historical casualty rates have been from World War II forward for U.S. forces, and that has been, on average, the initial incursions into cities, we see a casualty rate historically of around 30%. Now, if you continue to look at those figures, what you see is after a couple of weeks, that figure tends to decline to around 15%. And what happens is, of course, the survivors learn how to properly operate in an urban battle space. they teach the replacements how to do it properly, and then that casualty rate tends to level off.
Colonel Gangle, thank you very much for talking with
us. You're quite welcome.
Retired Marine Colonel Randy Gangle, who is the executive director of a Marine Corps think tank, the Center for Emerging Threats and Opportunities in Quantico, Virginia. We were talking